Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
I had a message on my heart. I had a message I was prepping for weeks for today on International Weekend, and I woke up with a different verse on my heart, and I don't do this often. In fact, I don't do this ever. I like being prepared. I think the Spirit can speak to me early, but I really felt that he changed my focus this morning as I woke up early, and I'm just going to go with it. I believe that this is what the Lord has for us today. In Ephesians, I referenced it earlier, but Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, they're going to throw it on the screens for us, and it says, Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Too many of us are trying to be strong on our own. But it's God that I'm supposed to be strong in. I don't need my strength. I need his strength. Put on the whole armor of God. Not some of it, all of it. Not parts of it, not pieces of it, not things that I agree with, not things I'm good at. No, put all of his armor on that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We don't wrestle flesh and blood. We don't fight against people. We fight against spiritual powers. There's a spiritual attack. There's a spiritual war that's happening. And often, many of us are fighting on the wrong battlefield. Many of us are fighting the wrong thing. We're fighting people. We're fighting friends, we're fighting family members, we're fighting on Facebook. Come on, somebody, who loves a good Facebook battle? Woo, come on. About to chat GPT my comment. Some of y'all are like, oh, that's a great idea. I'm about to use that. We're fighting on the wrong battle. There is a battle, but many of us have been convinced to fight the flesh. We arguing with people. We fighting people. But we're supposed to be fighting against the devil. Now this, the beginning of this says to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now I'm not sure if you use that word often, but that's not a regular word in my vocabulary, the wiles. But here's what it means. The cunning arts, the deceit, the trickery, the schemes or the strategies of the devil, the lies of the devil. You know that there's a strategy that the devil has to attack the world today. And we need to understand it and have the armor of God on it so that we can claim the victory that God already gave us. We don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. But if the devil can convince you to fight the wrong battle, then he doesn't have to fight the person that already has the victory. We need the armor of God so that we could come against these strategies. The devil is a liar. That's his native tongue. That's all he can say. Catch this. You're made in the likeness and the image of God. And God is a creative God. He's a creator. When he spoke, things were created. And you're in his image. So when you speak, life can happen. You can make things. You can create things. That's in the power of your tongue. The devil's not made in his image. So he can't create. He's not a creative being. All he can do is warp what God already created. So all he does is pervert what already exists. So his whole gimmick is I just got to lie and lie and lie. And he makes it look as enticing as possible. and he perverts what God created. And he's got schemes, he's got plans, he's got strategies to try to pervert and corrupt our world today. Jesus in the New Testament was confronting some people and he got mad at this group because he's like, y'all can tell the weather, but y'all don't understand the spiritual times you live in. Y'all remember that? He goes, y'all can look at the sea, you can look at the sky, you go, oh, tomorrow's gonna be rain, oh, tomorrow's gonna be good. Y'all can look at the weather and understand what's coming, but y'all can't look at culture and understand what's going on. Too many of us have put our focus on the wrong areas and we've been fighting the wrong battles. And too many of us are unaware of the schemes and the strategy and the tactics of the devil. Everything he does is a lie and we just sitting back because we'd rather be comfortable than truthful. We would rather let the world go to hell as long as I'm okay because I just would rather not get canceled. I'd rather not stand out. I promise, I'm gonna end this well. I'm gonna end, but it's a little harsh right now, a little heavy right now. Y'all, the devil is living in, catch this. The devil has got people so lied to that they're attempting to become what they can't define. How do you ever get to that definition if you don't even know what it is? Well, I'm a woman. Well, what is a woman? Well, I don't know. So then how do you know you'll be that once you're that? You can't even define what you're achieving. You can't define what you're going for. I don't even know what a woman is, but I know I am and you're not. If the devil can convince people that there's two scientific options and now there's not even two because science apparently is a lie and we can't even, if you can't even define what it is, but you are it somehow, you just have to believe me because I feel it somehow. How in the world have we sat back and watched the devil lie to people at such a level that they don't even know what it is that they're becoming? The devil's got schemes. The devil's got plans. The devil's got strategy. The devil is pushing this demonic attack on our world today. And you want to know why he's coming at your identity? Because you're made in the likeness and the image of God. And every time he makes you think that that's not who you truly are, he's attacking God. You were formed in your mother's womb. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And the devil's trying to make you doubt that, trying to make you question that, trying to make you question, am I really who God says I am? Was I really created for a purpose? Do I really have a plan? Or no, I think God messed up. I think he put me in the wrong body. I think he put me in the wrong identity. I think he put me in the wrong family. I think he put me with the wrong background. I think he put me with the wrong skills. And this isn't who I really am. And once I discredit God from being my creator, I make myself my own God. And we're just sitting back, fighting the wrong battles. Are we aware that we are here to fight a spiritual battle? You know, everything that comes into the natural realm came from the spiritual realm. It came from the spirit, manifest in the flesh. And many of us are fighting the manifestation, the flesh, the fruit. And too often we're spending all of our time fighting the fruit, but not fighting the spirit. So we get mad at the person that's confused as opposed to the demon that confused them. Is this too heavy for the third service today? Are y'all gonna be okay for this? We gotta fight. And here's the deal. Too many of us have been unwilling to fight because, well, I'm saved and I know Jesus and I'd rather not speak out. And that's exactly where the devil wants you. Because as long as he could keep you silent, he could win everyone else around you. So maybe you have victory because you found Jesus and to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And so I'm just going to live my life quietly and sound. I'm just going to live my life, trying to get as much as I can, trying to be as comfortable as I can. And when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. And in your silence, you lost your family. And in your silence, you lost your neighborhood. And in your silence, you allowed children around you to be confused and conformed because of demonic oppression and possession. Because you are willing to be silent and unwilling to fight the battle you were created to be, to fight for, the devil starts winning everything around you. No longer can we be silent. No longer can we say, well, because I'm okay, I'm good. No, no, no. There's a battle that's waging around us. And the best part is we fight from victory. So when we show up, we have victory. Jesus already won the victory on the cross. We just get to remind the devil every time we show up. Catch this, I love this part of the verse. This part of the verse, it says, having conquered all, stand. Having conquered all, stand. That was a military term at that time. What it meant is when you fought a victory, having fought all, still stand. So you had a victory, and now you stand back up ready for the next battle. Having done all, stand. Having already won, what does that mean? It means I don't just fight a victory and then go home, rest, relax, chill, kick it. No, I look for the next thing I could beat the devil up over. Because he's going to come back again. He's coming back again. He's fighting again. And so he is trying to get every single soul he can to hell with him. So I fight one battle. I stand again. I fought a battle. I stand again. I overcome cancer. I stand again. I overcome that loss. I stand again. I lose that job. I still stand again. No matter what I'm going through, I overcome and I stand again. Because there is a victory. It's almost like we just start getting greedy as Christians. Like, give me another victory. Come on back. Come on back for more. We're not done with you yet. I'm going to overcome you again and again and again. I'm going to beat you in my family. I'm going to overcome you in my marriage. I'm going to beat you in my business. I'm going to beat you in my neighbor. Like, I'm just going to keep overcoming. I'm going to stand again and stand again and stand again because I'm here to remind you that Jesus already won me the victory, and I ain't going to sit back and watch you take culture away. I'm going to sit back and watch you take our children. I'm going to sit back and watch you take the covenant of marriage away. I'm going to sit back and watch you just take people to hell while I'm okay because I'm comfortable and I don't want to speak out. No, that time is past. We're here to stand up and fight a spiritual battle in the Northwest to bring people to the knowledge of Jesus, to break them free of that oppression, to break them free of that demonic spirit, to break them free of them lies that they started to believe about themselves. That they aren't a son and a daughter of God made in the likeness and image of God. We're here to fight. We're here to fight for victory. And it goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. This is what I want us to catch today. What would it look like if you consciously saw yourself putting on the armor of God every day? What if you're like, okay, today, I'm not just leaving my armor at home. Today, I'm a warrior in the army of God, and so I've set out with armor. Put my helmet, my shield, cover, belt of truth, put shoes on. Like, as opposed to just looking for the armor in the midst of the battle. How many of us have found ourselves in the midst of the battle, and that's not when you should be looking for the armor? Oh, the sickness showed up. What do I believe? Oh, I lost my job. What should I do? Oh, something tragic happened in our community. What do I think about this? No, we need our armor on because the battle is here. What would it look like if every day you consciously said, I'm putting on the armor of God? He gave me what I need for victory. He gave me what I need to overcome. He gave me what I need to reign in life. I'm no longer just the easy target for that. I'm no longer silent. I'm no longer beat up. I'm no longer the sum of my past. No, I've overcome and I'm putting on this armor of God. So today I get to walk in victory. What would it look like if you walked in victory every day of your life? The first thing he says is put on. It says, gird your waist with truth. The old translation says your loins. Not a real modern term. They translated waist because it was a belt, but it would guard a soldier in battle. It says, guard your loins with truth. Now, you have to understand the context of how they would use that word and what it meant in that culture. They would often speak of that as your innermost being. Your, like they would, in the Old Testament, say your heart, your soul, like the depths of the person. As it ages, like your loins, it was the depths of who you are. It's the deepest parts of you. Guard that with truth. Guard that part of you with truth. Your bowels, your soul, the deepest part of who you are. Yeah, put truth around that. No more my truth. No more my emotions. No more my feelings. Truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. There's no my truth, your truth. There's just Jesus' truth or lies. So you guard the innermost of who you are with the truth that Jesus says. Jesus says, you're forgiven, I'm forgiven. Jesus said, I'm righteous, I'm righteous. Jesus said, I'm healed, I'm healed. Jesus says, he's my provider, he's gonna provide. He said, he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me. See, what do you believe? In the midst of your battles, do you think that Jesus left you or is he with you? What truth do you believe? When you're sick, what do you think? Oh, it's not for me. Healing's for some people, not for all. What is higher truth? Do you believe that Jesus is a healer or not? What is the truth that you protect the depths of your soul with? As parents, we know this is true. When your kid starts arguing with you because of their experience, they think something's true. Dad, I promise Nora kicked me in the face. Well, why, buddy? Because she hates me. Like, no, that's not why she kicked you. You guys were wrestling. She flipped off the bed and accidentally kicked you in the face as she was backflipping off the... Like, the real truth is that she just fell off, but your experience felt that you got kicked. Now, is it true, or as a dad, do I have a higher understanding and a higher truth in that moment? That's a real story from yesterday, by the way, in case you're wondering. See, what if God has a higher truth than what you've experienced? What if God has a higher truth than what you feel? What if God has a higher truth than even what you see or perceive? Sometimes what his Bible says is in contradiction to how you feel. Sometimes what the Bible says is in contradiction to how you've experienced life so far. You feel like you've been overlooked, you've been hurt, you've been abandoned, you've been misused. Yeah, that's your experience. But if you start seeing the way God tells you to see, maybe, just maybe, his truth can elevate your life. What do you put around the depths of who you are? Your truth, his truth. Too many of us have been putting shallow truth as the foundation of our life, only for it to crumble. We've been putting our experiences down. We've been putting people we follow on X and social media and all. This person said this. No. Start putting the Bible as the truth that you build your life on. What is the truth that you follow? What is the truth that guards your innermost being? It says, put on the belt of truth. It goes on to say, put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Man, I'm righteous. You want to know why you got to put your righteousness on? Because the devil's going to try to lie to you every chance he can that you're not. That's why God gave me the armor. And every day I put on righteousness. Not because I earned it. Not because I deserved it. Not because I'm worthy. Not because of anything I. It's all him. He gave it. He did it for me. He died on the cross for me. It's his blood. It's his life. And he gave it to me. And because of what Jesus did, I am righteous. And so every day I put righteousness on. That way the devil can't remind me. But you remember what you used to do? You remember what you used to say? You remember where you came from? You remember your family? Remember your failures? Man, you don't deserve that. You don't earn that. You shouldn't talk out loud. You shouldn't witness. Like, you're not good enough to witness. You're not holy enough to witness. You can't heal someone. You can't pray for someone. Over and over and over, and the devil's going to assault you. That's why you got to put that righteousness on and say, it's not because of me. It's because of him. Let me remind you what Jesus has done already. He already overcame you. the victory is in Jesus. I'm just putting my righteousness on to remind you when you try to attack me. Let's look at Jesus together. Righteousness. Righteousness. Man, can I just be honest? Sometimes you need to put righteousness on when you're talking to other Christians. We get too good at reminding people of their failures. We got to start seeing the righteousness on them. We got to speak righteousness onto people. We got to speak righteousness onto our spouses. Speak righteousness onto your children. Not because they're perfect, but because Jesus died for them. We got to wear that righteousness. It goes on to say, cover your feet with the message of peace. That message of peace. Everywhere we go, we bring peace. When I show up, does the room get more or less peaceful when you show up or leave? Does the room get more peaceful when you show up or more peaceful when you leave? We carry peace with us everywhere we go. Paul is referencing an Old Testament prophecy and a way of war. In Isaiah 52, 7, it says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers of peace who bring the gospel. The messengers of peace who bring the gospel or the good news. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers that bring peace or the gospel. This gospel is a word that, we have a gospel. But what that simply means is good news. And in old times, what they would do is they would have their armies go to war. And then a messenger would be sent back to the village or the town or the city or the nation. And they would give word that the army had overtaken and overpowered and overcome and had victory in their battle. And that's why he would say, how good are the feet of the messenger of peace that brings a gospel. Why? Because there was a group of people waiting to see if they had victory. And when that messenger came over that hilltop, over that mountain, they could see the messenger like, oh my goodness, we got victory. There was celebrating in the towns because of that messenger of the gospel that they carried. You know that that's you in our culture today? You're the messenger of peace, letting people know we got victory. We've overcome. No longer do you have to look for a completion in a relationship. No longer have to look for satisfaction in a bottle or a prescription or a drug. No longer do you have to feel like you're worthy of being valued just because of how much money you make or how much success you have. No. No longer are you looking to the world to fulfill that hole in your soul. We got victory. Jesus is enough. He fought a battle. The gospel is here. The kingdom has come. God is present and he's here and he wants to do life with you. I got good news. God's here. I got good news. I share a victory. That's why you walk with peace. You're coming to proclaim, to let a people group know, to let your family know, to let your neighbors know, to let anyone you come in contact know. I got good news. I carry a gospel with me. We have the victory. No longer do you have to try to find your self-worth in your sexuality. No longer do you have to give in to the lies of the enemy. No longer do you have to try to keep believing that if I make enough money, I'll be worthy of praise or worthy of value. No longer do you have to have success to... No, Jesus came and he's here and he's present. Emmanuel, God with us. God is here. That's why we carry peace, because we're here telling everyone about the victory. We're telling people about a victory. It keeps going on with this whole armor of God. It says, after the gospel of peace is a shield of faith. It's faith. Hey, Ben, you come onto the stage now. I got a shield of faith. Why? So that I could quench every fiery dart that the enemy tries to throw at me. See, every time the enemy attacks me, I got faith. Every time the enemy tries to throw a lie at me, but you don't know who you used to be, faith. But you won't be able to, you can't build that company. You can't build that family. You can't be the father to those kids. You can't lead that. You can't. Faith. But because of Jesus, I walk in faith. I will block any attack that the enemy throws at me. It's just faith. I take my shield everywhere. I wake up, faith. I go to work, faith. I drive home, faith. I raise my kids, faith. I engage with my wife, faith. Like, I never leave the shield in the closet. How many of y'all left your shield of faith in the junk drawer? Everyone has a junk drawer and everything's in there. You know what I'm talking about? You got chargers, batteries, a screwdriver. You got some super glue in there. I got like protein bars in there. You know, I just hide those everywhere. What is in this drawer? Too many of y'all left your faith there. It's just in the junk drawer. So everything just kind of, I just open the drawer, put everything in there, just clean the whole counter. Just there it is in the drawer. Close it. It's gone. Out of sight, out of mind. Some of y'all need to start carrying your faith with you more. Some of y'all need to start carrying your faith with you more. Some of y'all need to start carrying faith with you more. When you read a tweet that says there's been an attack, faith. Oh, come on, somebody. When you hear on the news that someone was attacked in a metro station, faith, Jesus. A school attacked, faith, Jesus, faith. My response to everything is faith. I got every attack of faith. Death, where is your victory? Faith. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your victory? There is no victory in death. Jesus already overcame it. So by faith, Jesus is going to make a way. By faith, he's going to do what the enemy meant for evil, God's about to use for his good. I just respond with faith. I respond with faith. I respond with faith. I respond with faith. You get a bad report from the doctor? Faith. A bad report from the boss? Faith. Just faith. I got a shield of faith. I don't have to go look for that in the junk drawer. Oh, where's that thing? I need that thing right now. No. It's just I carry it everywhere I go. Something happens? Faith. I might be hiding. I might be crying. I might not know what to do, but I got my faith. God, you will do what only you can do. You will turn this around. What the devil meant for evil, I don't know how, but you're going to do it for your good. Faith, Jesus. Yeah, but I wasted so much of my life. Faith. Stop listening to them lies. Stop listening to those lies. Every time the devil tries to attack you, faith. But you can't. No, I can because of Jesus, because I have faith. And faith, I see the impossible and I pull it into my life. I see my healing and I believe in faith that I'm bringing it to me. I see that blessing on my family, I bring it to me. I see that family that I'm believing for and I pull it to me. I see that success. I see that overcoming. I see that more than enough. I see that prosperity. I see the goodness of God. I see the grace of God. I see the anointing of God all over my life. And I call it and I claim it by faith and I bring it into my life. I walk by faith. And then it says in the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. See, we need this one. You need to put this on every day. And here's why. Because the devil is trying to play games in your mind and you need to put salvation around your head. It's the blood of Jesus that protects me and my thinking. It protects how I think. It protects how I perceive. It protects how I feel. It protects my emotions. It protects how I respond to people. I put my salvation as a cap, as a safeguard, as a helmet, so that when the devil tries to come in with lies, I go, no, the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. It's my salvation that stops you from getting to my mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect. I can show off God's perfection as I put his salvation around my mind. I need that helmet. I need that helmet around my mind. You need to put that helmet on every day. You need to stop letting the devil have free access to your thoughts. You need to take his all access card away and put your salvation back on and go, no, it's the blood of Jesus that's redeemed me and saved me and cleansed me. And no longer am I giving into that pornography. No longer am I giving into that fear. No longer am I giving into that intimidation or thinking less of myself or that pride. I'm no longer given to anger because salvation sits on my head. The blood of Jesus has cleaned me and I can live up to what Jesus has called me up to, not down to what the devil has for me. And you put that helmet on. He says, and then there's a sword. Come on, somebody. Let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to that aggressive stuff, that action stuff, that weapon. Give me the weapon. See, the problem is too many of y'all, see, the sword, it says, is the word of God. And some of y'all know just enough word of God to have a little Swiss Army knife. Y'all over here like, I'm ready. Because y'all know like a verse. Because the word of God is a sword. The word of God is a sword. What did Jesus do in the desert? He had fasted 40 days and the devil shows up. The devil starts tempting Jesus and he goes, no, the word of God says, the word of God says, the word of God says. Did Jesus actually battle? Did he work? Was it a struggle? No, he goes, the word of God and the devil was gone. The word of God and the devil had to flee. The word of God and the, see, you just got to get the word. It's not even a struggle. You already got the victory. You just got to know you have it. Next time the devil shows up, word of God. Next time that temptation shows up, word of God. Next time that struggle shows up, word of God. This is what God says. 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 I remember when Willow went through her cancer battle a year or two ago now. I would wake up 7 or 8 times a night for the first few weeks. Just terrified. And I made a list of scriptures. I would wake up and I would just start reading. I just would read them. I would just confess the peace of God, the health of God, the healing of God, the victory that I have in God. I'd read those 5 or 6 verses every night. I would wake up, I was reading them 7 or 8 or 9 times a night for the first week. Second week, it was 3 or 4 times a night. About the third week, devil's like, don't wake him up anymore, please. Let the man sleep. He just keeps grabbing that sword. He just keeps grabbing that sword. He's attacking us. Hey, like, he's overcoming and just stop strengthening him. Stop giving him chances. You got to get the word in you. You got to get the word of God in you so that when the world tries to fight, so that when lies try to come at you, so that when this culture tries to say there is no God and give in to your senses, when the world attempts to define a whole group of people by their sexual desire as if that's all that they are is one thing, you go, no, I know the word of God. You are made in the likeness and the image of God. You're a son and a daughter of God. I know your identity. You might not know it yet, but I do. I can see it. I can see you're anointed. I can see you're righteous. I can see you're called. I can see that you're forgiven. I can see that Jesus loved you so much. He went to the cross for you before you even knew him. Before you're going through all of this confusion, but there's a bigger cause for you. There's a greater identity in you. This doesn't define you. This doesn't limit you. This isn't the end of your story. My Jesus still has a story to write. I can see it because I'm in the word of God and I got a sword here to fight against the lies of the enemy. Let me leave you with this verse. In John 16:33, they'll throw it up for you. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You can have peace in Jesus. Because he overcame. He already overcame. Now catch this. He goes, listen, I get it. When you're in the world, there's going to be some tribulation. There's going to be battles. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be issues. There's going to be loss. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be pain. But in the midst of all of the issues, you can still live in peace. Through this week, through the attack, through the heartbreak, through the horror, God's calling you to live in peace. He still has peace, even in the midst of tribulation. He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome. Church, I need you to, if you can go home with just two thoughts, is you were, God has armor for you to wear every day, for you to walk in victory every day. And simultaneously, in the midst of the battle, you're called to live in peace. There is a spiritual battle that you have armor for. And while fighting, while being a light, while witnessing, while loving, while serving, while being Jesus in our world today, do it with peace. For he has overcome the world.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.